Oregon steps into rare company in little more than a month. Only two other states currently allow marijuana for personal use. July 1st, Oregon joins Washington and Colorado. There's much to be decided and set up before that time, and the law has other provisions that click in later, so you can be forgiven for being a bit confused about what happens when. We'll try to clear up some of the confusion in the hour ahead. Our first guest to help us weed things out. Oh, I knew I'd say that. You got to watch out for the terminology, didn't you? All right, it's Brent Kenyon, who works at and owns Southern Oregon Alternative Medicine, and he is part of a committee advising the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, OLCC, which has to develop rules for recreational marijuana in Oregon. Brent, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Glad to be here.
Tell us a bit about you and your business.
Well, you know, I started about 17 years ago working for a company called Voter Power that was the organization that originally got the medical marijuana bill to pass, and learned a little bit about patients and the needs of Oregonians to have safe access to their medicine, and started working on that. And so I've for over 16 years now had Southern Oregon Alternative Medicine. We have 18 locations in Oregon where we see medical marijuana patients and see a majority of them in the state. And it's been the pleasure to work with these folks and help people find relief in somewhere other than a pharmacy.
So you're a dispensary chain, essentially.
No, I'm actually a medical marijuana clinic chain, mm-hmm. which is a little bit confusing to some people. The dispensaries are now in the market. Dispensary is a retail outlet. Essentially, we do have some dispensaries, Grateful Meds dispensaries across the state. We have three locations. But the clinics have been around for a long time, which we have doctors that understand the necessity of trying a natural medicine over, you know, a pharmaceutical drug, and are sympathetic to that. And we still have a lot of doctors that aren't and want to push you into the pharmacies and support the pill companies and don't want to believe that someone can find relief in their home by growing a simple plant. And, you know, so we at the Southern Oregon Alternative Medicine Clinics, that's what we specialize in, is helping people find growers and get through the process with doctors that are friendly to the idea that you can heal yourself.
Is there a consistent feeling with people within the medical marijuana business that you are in about whether recreational pot is a good or bad thing?
Well, I think obviously we don't want to see anybody go to jail for marijuana anymore. So I think the consensus, amongst medical and others is that we'd like to see the laws change. But one thing that we need to impress upon the legislature, which they talk a lot about protecting patients, and then, you know, like we see with this Senate bill that passed yesterday with an overwhelming margin, you know, 964 is just an absolute attack on sick and disabled people in the state of Oregon, allowing local communities to ban facilities where they'd have to, if you were in Medford and Medford decides to ban, which they have so far, you'd potentially have to drive all the way to Eugene or somewhere before you can find a spot to, you know, where you can do it. We're glad that the city of Talent and now seems as if Phoenix also has allowed dispensaries to open, and so we will have that local access here. But there's a lot of folks that are in eastern counties that aren't going to be able to get their medicine, and they're going to have to, you know, not being able to grow it and not being able to buy it in communities is not the intent of what the original Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, you know, implied, as and Measure 91 specifically prohibited communities from being able to ban these facilities. So it's just, I'm very concerned that if this moves on, it's going to be extremely damaging to medical marijuana patients.
Was there a sense that things had more or less stabilized with the medical marijuana program across the state, or had it ever even gotten to that point?
I think we've got, you know, I see the concern of the legislature to have some control over large grows moving into the recreational market that is going to be tracked and recorded where things go. And that makes sense to us. But having, you know, a mom and pop that grow their own medicine have to go out and buy equipment to monitor their small garden in their private, you know, in the privacy of their backyard, and also the intrusion of inspectors coming to your home, and this is, you know, the OLCC is not even looking at as dramatic of things as we're seeing the legislature trying to do to the medical program. It's just crazy to me that they think they need to work so much on the medical marijuana program and not on implementing Measure 91, which was, you know, what the Measure 91 committee was made up of, you know, representatives and senators to implement 91. And all of a sudden, they're hung up on completely gutting the medical marijuana program and damaging, you know, patients' rights.
Now, here's where the confusion comes in, because you are on this committee that is advising the OLCC, correct?
Sure.
On recreational marijuana.
Right.
You are in the medical marijuana business, and then
right.
we're also talking about this bit of legislation that passed the Oregon Senate yesterday, Senate Bill 964. Which I'll just got the title in front of me as written, makes changes to the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, including limiting amount of plants that may be grown at addresses where marijuana grow sites are located and requiring registration of marijuana processing sites becomes operative March 21st, 2016. I'm not reading the whole title, but in a nutshell, from your perspective, what does Senate Bill 964 do? It has only passed the Senate at this point, but it passed nearly unanimously, 29-1. Floyd Prozonsky of Eugene was the one.
Right. And, you know, we definitely applaud Floyd for his strength in standing up to what is obviously just insanity, an unreachable bill that just I can't imagine going much further. I think there are some good things in there that we can, you know, that aren't horrible, but there's so many bad things that it's just completely unworkable and absolutely needs to be just, you know, they need to go back and start over on this one. This is, we've seen, it's been like a game of ping pong back and forth for the last 3 months going over different bills, and it's changed multiple times. And we've spent hundreds of hours giving input to legislators and also working with the OLCC to try and find some middle ground on some of these topics and, you know, full on tracking and some of the things that they're trying to do in this Senate bill are just, you know, not workable. And it's just going to, you know, create a major problem for people that are sick and trying to focus on healing themselves.
Now, the legislature a couple of years ago passed the ability for cities to put a moratorium on for medical marijuana dispensaries, correct? So is this seen as
right.
a successor to that?
Well, and I think that, no, this is a gross, you know, destruction of what that was intended for. I think the year moratorium was to give cities and counties a little bit of time to create regulation around where these things will be located and how they're going to deal with that. It wasn't an intent for them to decide that they can tax, which, you know, the law absolutely says that they cannot tax. Measure 91 was specific that the local communities won't be able to tax. It's a state tax, just like we have for alcohol, just like we have for cigarettes. And it makes sense. And then the state distributes to the counties that, you know, participate is my intent. I think that we should just tell counties if you don't want to participate in allowing these folks to come into your area, you don't get any of the tax money. You know, I think, you know, these are the kinds of things we need to be telling the local communities.
All right. Much more to talk about both on recreational pot and medical pot. We're talking to Brent Kenyon from Southern Oregon Alternative Medicine on a committee advising the OLCC. We'll add some guests and add you in as well as we continue through the Jefferson Exchange. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking about marijuana today, Oregon flavored, because Oregon is going to go legal with recreational marijuana as of July 1st of this year. But it is also, at the same time, making some changes, or at least attempting to make some changes to its medical marijuana program, which always seems to be in a bit of a state of flux anyway, with communities banning dispensaries and all sorts of other facilities. We'll get into that. We have Brent Kenyon with us from Southern Oregon Alternative Medicine, which runs a string of clinics involving medical marijuana. He's part of a committee advising the Oregon Liquor Control Commission as well. We'll add other guests as the hour goes on. You can join our discussion about marijuana and where it's going in Oregon. 800-838-3760 around the region by email jx@jeffnet.org. So let me set medical marijuana aside for just a moment, if that's even
sure.
possible, because they seem
right.
hopelessly intertwined. On the personal use of marijuana, which everybody seems to be calling recreational.
Sure.
The fun use of marijuana as
right.
opposed to the medicinal. You are part of this committee advising the OLCC. Tell us about how you got picked for that.
You know, I think that they looked at a lot of folks in the industry to see who's got the proper input. And, you know, I think they've got a wide variety. I know Rob Patridge a bit and have had, you know, had the opportunity to work closely with the OLCC in the beginning, you know, part of this to give them an idea of what the ground looks like right now and, you know, what's feasible and what is not feasible. I think some of the things that our legislators listen to from Colorado and other states, we see as, you know, failures in some of the ways that they deal with their laws, and that we can fix those things here in Oregon, not letting a ton of out-of-town folks come in and grow where we already have a massive amount of growers in the medical sector that we think could supply the recreational sector, growers that are already testing, you know, growing, packaging, and doing the things that they need to do to supply that market. So, you know, I think that having a wide variety of folks on these committees, and we've got a lot of great folks on the different subcommittees, you know, experts in the fields of, you know, making edibles and testing and all of these things, are all parts of what need to be considered for making a strong law that's going to be successful. I think that's what we need to do and try and correct some of the failures we've seen in other states. So I'm very excited and humbled that they would choose me for this position, and I hope I can add some input.
So this is a rules advisory committee
that
you're on?
The rules advisory committee is the main committee that basically takes input from the subcommittees and moves forward ideas that we think will work and be beneficial to Oregon.
A little late in the game, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about this. The announcement about this came out in early May. The law goes up in July 1st.
Right, July 1st. Well, basically, it's a small amount of things that need to be decided for that portion of what the law. It's kind of a sectional deal where we have to actually, the industry part of it is where most of the rulemaking is going to be around. Right now, you know.
You mean like with retail and that sort
right.
of thing?
Right.
And retail does not start with the implementation of the law.
No,
itself,
there is
right?
some interest in the legislature to allow retail to start sooner, potentially even July or a little after, before when we would be issuing permits in January. Ideally, we'll have all the rules made by then. I think there's been so much kind of side work with OLCC reaching out to the community and also the legislature and trying to work on some of these things ahead of time. I think there's actually been a lot of work done ahead of time to kind of give guidance to not only our main rulemaking committee, but also the subcommittees on kind of narrowing it down to the most important points that we need. Like you say, we are short on time, but you know, again, even though OLCC is under a tight time frame, you have to applaud the way those folks have gone out and reached out to our community and included our, you know, they're not just reaching out to us for the media. They're actually asking questions and listening to input from the community. And so it's been a really nice experience so far, and I'm excited to see, you know, what we can get done in the next few months.
Now, have there been meetings yet?
There have not been any official meetings for the Rules Advisory Committee. The first Rules Advisory Committee that I know of is June 11th that we'll be meeting the main RAC, and then the subcommittees are meeting somewhere around that same time frame.
And it looks like a fair number of you on the committee are involved with the medical marijuana business.
There are a few. Well, I mean, the industry in Oregon has been medical marijuana industry. So mm-hmm. now it's a legal industry. You know, a lot of folks.
And then I see sheriffs and district attorneys.
Sure.
And, you know, all kinds of people on there.
Well, and I think that's important to get law enforcement's opinions and you know, kind of what they see for what they have to do. I mean, let's be honest. They do have a job to do. And if we can help them understand how things work and come to some kind of compromises where it's not over-policing for an industry that, you know, I think we should be treating a lot like alcohol when it comes to the recreational. That's why I think OLCC is appropriate for the job. They're dealing with an intoxicant that's given out, you know, throughout the state. They monitor it. They do a good job of that. And, you know, I think that it's going to be the same thing with marijuana. I think there's a lot of confusion around it, but we're going to work through those issues and hopefully guide them in the right way and to make the rules that are going to work and have a functioning system. And, you know, I can't say enough how bad it is for the system and how bad it is for what the voters intended by having the local communities lobbying so hard with their representatives. You've got your, you know, your counties and your cities are lobbying to have the right to ban all facilities, which is not going to make a, you know, that's a dry county for booze. We don't have that anymore, right? And so it's silly to think that we should go back to the old prohibition days and start with this fear-mongering where they're just not, instead of saying this is a proper place for these stores, we're going to allow this many, just like Talent did, just like Eugene did, just like Springfield did in Portland. And they're finding a way to keep these stores, you know, appropriately away from schools, appropriately away from, you know, where the community is going to be interacting. And so, you know, I think there's a way to do it, but banning is not going to make a successful law. Definitely not what the voters voted for.
So tell us, Brent, about some of the discussions you've had with city and county officials when there have been discussions like what you're talking about, where they wanted to keep dispensaries out of town, said, no, we're not going to do this, where they're trying to ban outdoor grows or whatever the particular thing they're doing is. I mean, what I imagine you've had some conversations with city officials.
Most of the conversations that we've had are with officials in cities and communities that are open to the idea and trying to generally find a good area to have these things and allow that type of business. You know, I recently gave testimony at the Jackson County Planning Commission on some of the ideas they have on where they think dispensaries should go and where they should not go. And I think they've been enlightened by some of the testimony that myself and others have given. And hopefully they're, you know, using their brain when they realize that it's not something you can ban. It's something you need to organize, help the state and help what we're doing by organizing in these local communities, finding the proper place for these things and realizing it is what's happening. I think there's still this mentality that, you know, the few anti-marijuana law enforcement that are left, and most law enforcement, if you talk to on the side, don't want to go in anyone's home to bust them for pot anymore. They don't want to go on a marijuana raid ever again. You know, they're forced to by superiors and they go. There's a few hardcore guys that just hate pot. And well, guess what? Don't buy any pot. You know, and they ask, what about the kids? Well, the kids can't come in. The same thing with the booze. Kids can't come in the bar, you know, and the kids can't come in the dispensaries. So I think there's, you know, with proper parenting and that type of thing, I think all of this can be reached to be a safe thing and also responsible thing.
Given where things were, there was a fair amount of reaction when Oregon voted medical marijuana in
sure.
the first place. I mean, given where you thought things might have gone at the dawn of medical marijuana in
right.
Oregon, where are things now in relation to that opening vision?
Well, I think, you know, the main point for a lot of the folks that are in the marijuana industry, and you'll hear this from a lot of others, is that we're glad to see something that we have all worked so hard on come to the mainstream and come about. I 10 years ago, I probably would have told you were crazy if you said we were going to be full legal in Oregon this year. So a lot of us are shocked. And I was on the finance committee for Measure 91 for the legalization campaign. And I can tell you on election night, we were all kind of shocked it was over in 30 minutes. It just showed that overwhelmingly that Oregon voters realize that it's time for a change. And I think we're kind of catching up along with that, too. I think medical marijuana, we've seen how successful the program has been. Folks like myself that are on the ground dealing with the patients, unlike legislators that probably have not even met a medical marijuana patient. You know, I think a lot of them, you know, we've got our local representative, Peter Buckley, here that is just a champion that does understand what sick people benefit by this. And, you know, so there are legislators that understand the importance of the medical marijuana program. And so what I don't want to have happen is lose all of the benefits that these sick Oregonians, sick and dying Oregonians, and I've watched many of them die in my 15 years of having this business and watching the relief they got from a natural medicine that wasn't making them sicker or, you know, taking a pill for that nausea or just to get hungry, as simple as eating a piece of food to sustain life. You know, marijuana gives you the munchies, and so if you're sick, you know, you get it. My mom went through cancer. My best friend's mom had HIV from a blood transfusion, and I went through that whole process with them, watching them sick. And this is, you know, 20 years ago, and the hospitals didn't understand marijuana and didn't even want to hear about it, you know, but people were reaching out. In California, they were healing people for years with this thing, and now we're seeing it come about, and I just really don't want to see patients suffer in the transition to allow recreational cannabis as well as medical. They can work side by side efficiently. We're seeing it happen, and I'm just hoping that we can fend off these negative changes the legislature's trying to do.
We're talking about marijuana in Oregon as legalization approaches. The countdown to marijuana, legalized recreational marijuana, is on. July 1st is the opening date for personal use. We're talking to Brent Kenyon from Southern Oregon Alternative Medicine. He operates a clinic, a series of clinics, and some dispensaries as well, I guess, dealing with medical marijuana. He's also part of a committee advising the OLCC, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, which needs to bring the retail rules into play for when that happens in Oregon. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area, 800-838-3760. or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Here is Bill in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Brent Kenyon.
Yeah, good morning. It's a good program that you have, and the gentleman there, of course, is advancing a certain position, and I think it's the majority of the position. I'm going to agree that the majority of the public voted to legalize marijuana, and I'm also going to agree that it has some medicinal value, but there's a minority of us here in Oregon that still believe that it's a harmful substance.
Harmful how, Bill?
Harmful. It's mind-altering. That's never good. It's a dangerous for driving. It affects young people neurologically into later life. It causes all kinds of people to forget their work ethic, all kinds of things that are bad about it.
All right, I just want to probe you a little more on what the concerns were. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. And Brent, you definitely have a response here.
Well, I think I would ask Bill, does he drink alcohol? Has he ever met anyone that drinks alcohol and see the derogative effects of alcohol? I grew up in a family with alcoholics. My brother's an alcoholic. I deal with it all the time. I've dealt with a lot of marijuana folks, and any mind-altering substance. I mean, Bill's got a point. It is a mind-altering substance. With mind-altering substances, you have to have responsibility. And just like alcohol, if it's treated properly to where folks, think about before they drive, I choose not to drink and drive. I hope others do the same thing. And I choose not to take my medicine and drive. I don't think you should take your Vicodin and drive. As far as driving is concerned, there are concerns that young people at too young of age start using cannabis. I think that I'm worried about that as much as I am kids getting into the alcohol cabinet. It's not good for anyone to sidetrack their mind when they're in the learning process and growing up and kind of figuring out how the world works. So I think I would just, I respect how he felt about that. But I think, the medical damages of cannabis have been dramatically overplayed. And now we're starting to see some real science. The government has blocked studies for years and years and years, so we haven't had really accurate information on what cannabis does do in the long-term effects. And, I think it's much more minimal than people have been fed.
That's one of the issues with the federal government's ongoing prohibition on marijuana, that since it's listed as a Schedule I controlled substance,
right,
it's not even useful for any sort of scientific or medical experimentation.
No, but don't quote me on this, but over 40 years or so or longer, they've had a medical marijuana program under federal guidance. So for a government to say that it has no medicinal value, but we have actually one of the last federal medical marijuana patients living in Oregon here now, and we interact with all the time, the hypocrisy of there's absolutely no medical value in this. But we have a medical marijuana program that we've been, funding for years and years and years through the federal government. They've been, have a private growing facility at one of the universities that they've been supplying these people for years. So it's just ludicrous to say that the feds themselves have a program, but everyone else that's participating in this it just doesn't make any sense.
But you have a certain percentage of people, I'm thinking, who still are going to have the heebie-jeebies about state law legalizing marijuana when there's still federal law against it.
Well, yeah, and that's it. I mean, there's, the Death with Dignity Act was another good example of things that the feds didn't like much that Oregon decided was best for our state. And I think there's a lot of other instances that we could probably dig up with a little research of things where the feds may not have approved of it, but states decided that they have choices. And that's, I think, what our forefathers decided was the power of the state to choose for themselves. So let the voters decide. And the federal government should respect the states, as they've been doing in a lot of instances. We haven't seen the raids on dispensaries. We haven't had any dispensaries attacked here in Oregon. I think partly because, as opposed to California, who doesn't have a medical marijuana program at the state level like Oregon does. So they don't have the registry system like we have here that's a statewide system. They kind of do it, county to county, and that they all were left to make their own rules. Here we have such an organized system, really. You talk about the other states and how they're doing it. There's things that we can fix here, no doubt, but Oregon's medical marijuana program has been successful. We haven't seen a huge increase in crime. We haven't seen, a huge increase in dependency on drugs. If anything, we've seen the opposite. People getting off pain prescription pills. I can tell you, my clinic was recognized by an organization for working on the reduction of prescription pain pill abuse because they know we're getting people off of pills. So, you know, I think that we have to look at the positives and the new research that's out that really does show it's not as harmful as we've been lied to about for years.
We have a couple of emails and a few phone calls here. Jay, I assume from Springfield, writes, he wonders, does recreational enactment make medical somewhat moot? I want back pain topical, more the CBC, not the THC. A medical dispensary store here in Springfield said they believe it would be able to get medical.
I think what we talk about when we talk about why, and a lot of, I got these questions from OLCC, why do we need medical if we have recreational? And I think the main answer to that is the folks do not have money. Most of the patients that we see are low-income patients, and going in and spending $20 on a gram of pot versus having a grower that's supplying free medicine to you, you know, is the whole brilliance of the medical marijuana program. It's free medicine. You don't have to beg your insurance company to pay for that prescription that the doctor gave you. You know, this is where you can get your medicine right away with a person you're one-on-one with, not a pharmaceutical company that doesn't care who you are or about Jim or Joan or whoever is sick and why they're sick. They don't care. They want to make their money. One thing about medical marijuana growers is the passion they have to watch their patients feel better. And I think you can't just send sick people to a retail store to get their medicine of people that just aren't going to focus on their individual needs. And patients have multitudes of individual needs. We have so many different conditions that cannabis in the proper form can be beneficial to. And he's right. You know, we want to focus, and we are focusing on CBD products, you know, an active chemical in cannabis that is medically
CBD
beneficial.
Is the other root
CBD, and we actually have CBG, which is a root element that basically decides whether it's going to be THC or CBD in a plant structure. So these CBGs we've now discovered are, you know, it's not necessarily just now discovered, but now recognizing as a benefit. And I know in Springfield, I have a Grateful Meds dispensary, and we have a line of different CBD products you can get that don't get you as euphoric, high, not as high THC. It's a high CBD, low THC.
All right, much more to talk about on medical legalization, rather recreational legalization and medical marijuana in Oregon, two separate subjects that continually overlap. Brent Kenyon's our guest here. We'll join with Mark Gatlin from the Grants Pass City Council down the road and take your phone calls and emails when we come back from the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 10. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. We're talking about marijuana. The countdown to legalization is on. It becomes legal for recreational use in Oregon. As of July 1st, there is still a medical marijuana program, still moves to curtail or enhance that program, depending on which legislator or city council you talk to. Brent Kenyon kind of straddles that line. He is with Southern Oregon Alternative Medicine, which is a series of clinics. He's also got dispensaries. He's also part of a committee advising the Oregon Liquor Control Commission on legalization as it pertains to the retail end of things coming up. OLCC will be in charge of that. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Rick and Florence, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, hi. I really just have a question. On the change in the legislation on the medical, how many plants will an individual have the right to grow for their own use? And actually, the same question on recreational, because I'm not even sure about that, how that's going to work.
All right. Good questions.
Well, what I would say right now is it's been like back to our ping pong game of the legislative ping pong we've been playing. Right now, the last thing that we saw in Senate Bill 964 that passed through the Senate yesterday would allow a medical garden to be up to 96 plants, which I believe 16 patients that you'd be able to grow for. There was intent when we started this, it was going to be 24 medical plants, just so everybody kind of understands where we've been fighting and where all of your, you know, lobbyists and folks at all these different companies, Alex Rogers at Ashland Alternative Health and many others have been fighting for to protect those plant numbers. And we didn't see, as of now, to answer the second half of that question, there is no limit proposed for recreational plants right now. So we have been saying, how crazy is it that they're trying to limit medical growers that are growing for sick people and not even proposing a limit on recreational plants. You know, it just seems ludicrous to us that's what's happening. But so right now, to answer that question, it looks like it's going to, you know, potentially be a 48 plant maximum on a medical garden, and recreational is yet to be determined.
All right. As long as we're talking about the growing of plants, let's bring in Mark Gatlin from the Grants Pass City Council. He is here to talk about a potential change coming to Grants Pass's rules, where the city is interested in talking about banning the growing of marijuana outdoors. Mark Gatlin, again, a member of the city council. Mark, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, and good morning.
Give us some idea of the current situation with medical marijuana in town and how much work it took from the council to get to some sense of stability or at least comfort with the system as it exists currently.
Well, the council recognizes that we have a trend going, and it's been coming for a long time, that the recreational really is going to overtake the medical. And so we really look at it as one and the same, it's just a matter of time before the federal government gets off the proverbial pot and makes these laws legal, so that then we can recognize that this is what's going to happen. It's going to be put on us to adhere to by federal mandate, and that would actually give us a lot more latitude in how to address these issues.
So at this point, you're saying it'd be better to have the federal government go for legalization to just make it clearer all around?
Well, it would certainly help us out. I mean, right now, we have, I was listening to your call, I came in late on the phone, so I wasn't able to get his name, but the gentleman speaking was
Brent Kenyon.
I'm sorry?
Brent Kenyon.
Brent, yes. Hi. Hi, Brent.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you. So the idea is that we're not, you know, as a state, we have a sovereignty, and the federal government just needs to come in line with us is really not realistic. When you look at situations or examples such as the federal speed law, where highway dollars, federal dollars were withheld from states that did not adhere to that federal law, the states had to come into compliance with that. And so you have, when you have a change of administration, the climate now is favorable to pot. Who knows what's going to happen down the road? And so we need to have that clarification so that we as a city, as a state, really, has an understanding of, a more clear understanding of where we're going.
All right, specific to what the Grants Pass City Council is talking about, the effort is aimed at marijuana growing outdoors. What's the issue perceived, and what is the proposal for addressing that issue?
Yeah, the issue, first of all, the proposal isn't even there yet. We've asked our city attorney to come up with some ideas of how we can regulate and control the coming tide, if you will, of marijuana growing. And because, as we have had complaints, I've certainly ridden down the center of the streets and smelled growth from, you know, who knows where. I mean, the whole neighborhood is filled with the aroma come that time of year.
It's funny, we relate that to, somebody said the other day, how does a vegetarian feel when somebody barbecues next door?
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, some things smell that you don't like, you know.
I've heard of the problem with roses, you know, in the rose garden. You know, you have odors, certainly, that come across. But you have a reasonability, a reasonable
expectation,
thank you, of not being invaded with a constant barrage of smell, in the same way that you wouldn't want somebody having a continuous burn for a month right next door to you. There are limits that you can take and that you should expect your neighbors to have to succumb to.
Mark Gatlin, when do you think the council will be looking at a potential ordinance?
Well, this next Monday we will have maybe a draft or some ideas coming up from, it's on the website for the city. You can look it up on the website. Mm-hmm. Unless it gets changed, I believe next Monday it will come up as for the ideas from council. But you know, I have sympathy for and empathy for our medical growers. I've talked to them. I've been asking our constituents to please call us, please write us, let us know your thoughts on this matter. I've gotten pro and con, and the pro growers, a couple of vets, you know, that called me up and said, "Hey, look, I'm not bothering anybody. I've been growing successfully. I have, you know, my neighbors haven't complained. I don't have the traffic, you know, that some people are worried about. I just need my medicine." And I am empathetic towards that, and I don't want to put an undue burden on those that are legitimately doing this. But you know that there are others that would take this law that is coming down the road, such as the legalization for recreational use, and plant a whole grow, you know, their whole backyard.
All right, so you're trying to get ahead of the legalization deadline.
That's
exactly
what we're doing.
All right.
You know, we're looking ahead so that we don't have to, you know, go in later and say, "Hey, y'all got to rip up your field."
Right. All right, so I understand. All right, so we'll keep an eye on what goes on with the Grants Pass City Council. Mark Gatlin, thank you for joining us. Your phone's muddy enough. We're not going to want to continue with you, but thank you so much for joining us. We have an email here from Scott in Ashland who writes, "I'm troubled by proposals in various cities to limit marijuana grows to indoor sites. Given the extraordinary energy consumption of indoor grows, that seems like a terribly wasteful idea. The principal rationale appears to be odors associated with outdoor grows. I'm interested in an objective view of how intense those odors actually are. On my morning walks through Ashland, my nose is often assailed by skunky odors, but the sources invariably turn out to be skunks. Are marijuana odors really so different from the unpleasant smells that one occasionally encounters in the world?" Scott in Ashland writes, and that was interesting. Vegetarians and barbecues.
I think we've got a lot of instances where that kind of, I think it's silly to say, you know, we're going to ban something in a community because people don't like the smell. You know, I can understand where someone that's not a marijuana person that lives right on a fence line next door. We've talked a lot about size of properties in town. You've still got people that are in Ashland city limits that have, you know, an acre or 2 acre property. Same in Medford. This instance is coming up over there. And I know a lot of gardeners that I've talked to that are like, "I'm not on a fence line." And if you have a little quarter acre lot and you're trying to shove, you know, 50 plants in your backyard, and, you know, again, the smell is only, you know, maximum month and a half, 2 months, and you're done. It's at the very end of the season. It's not all summer. So there is some uncomfortability. I get that. And I definitely am not one to, you know, make your neighbor suffer. But I think we need to be responsible when we're talking about this is something that's been happening for a long time. What are the actual volume of negative smell calls that we got? Is it 20? Is it literally 20 in the last 2 years of people that have called the city and complained? You know, I mean, I think you got to look at those numbers, and it's not an overwhelming amount of people that hate their marijuana growing neighbors.
But, you know, there will be more marijuana grown.
Well, I think that they need to be responsible and realize that a commercial grow should not be allowed inside city limits for the most part. I mean, that doesn't make sense. If you're going to grow commercially, you're going to need more space. So it doesn't make sense to have an in-town grow. As far as indoor, trying to force people indoor, you know, I know Peter Buckley and some others have been working on an energy bill that's going to potentially reduce the amount of indoor that could be produced. And you'd have a kilowatt limit of how much energy you can use. And I think we're very concerned with the carbon footprint in Oregon, being a green state that we are, and concerned, especially the Ashland area and folks, we don't want to use that power. And there's a lot of other impact to our environment from, you know, indoor grows. So we're definitely proponents of outdoor grows.
Let us take another call. Here's Terry and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about marijuana with Brent Kenyon.
Hi, is this, you're looking for Terry?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm an older person, and I have bad back pain, and I'm on pain meds that give me secondary side effects of anxiety and sleeplessness, and I'm interested in non-inhalant cannabinoids because I also have COPD from smoking cigarettes.
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so we're just trying to find out what Brent knows about that. Thanks for the call, Terry.
I think Terry, you're perfect kind of guy to come in and check out some of the new products that we have available that people are focusing on. There's a lot of guys like you and gals like you that have lung issues or just maybe, you know, smoking at all. We obviously don't want to tell people to smoke. So we're getting into what's vaporization and You know, which is no carcinogens and nothing burning. It just vaporizes the THC glands off of the plant material, and essentially you throw away the marijuana. But we've got some great edibles. We have a Chacawana bar at our dispensary in Springfield there. If you go to Southern Oregon Alternative Medicine in Springfield, they would be glad to help you. I think the first step of that is getting your medical marijuana card. Sounds like you qualify just here in the basis, and then we can get you dialed in with some products that will help you. There is stuff out there. You don't have to smoke to get relief, and that is the new focus of the industry, is to get away from the smoking.
All right, but you just mentioned the Chacawana bar, and I had just circled the word edibles bar on my list.
Right, so yeah, there's a lot of edibles out
there. This is a huge
there.
Issue. This is made a huge issue in the campaign against, on the way to the vote for legalization last
it is.
November. So, I mean, how do you make these things not so interesting and exciting to kids?
The argument comes down to packaging, and, you know, I remember when I was a kid, the chocolate that we could not eat in the medicine cabinet was a laxative.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember
this stuff. The X-Lax, yeah.
Love that stuff. you only eat it once or twice when you're a kid and realize it's not real chocolate.
This is not the good stuff, yeah.
So I think just like the liquor cabinet should probably have a key on it, I think if you have marijuana edibles, you need to keep them away from your kid. Do we need to have billboards with big cartoon characters advocating for marijuana edibles? No. But when it comes down to in the home and what packaging people have, it's up to the parents to do the parenting. It's not up to the government to parent your children. So you need to put your medicine away. You know, that's kind of our thought on it.
Mike in Medford emails, hello, let's be clear. This isn't about smell. We all know this is one person's genius political idea to impede the state law on a reefer madness reaction. So that's the reaction to the laws on smells.
Well, I can't agree enough. It's, you know, and the federal argument, come on, you know, this has just been the same stupid argument that the local communities have tried to pull out. This is what they pull out of their hat every time. The feds don't like it, so we have to go according to federal law. Federal law has not come in all the years of the medical marijuana program. We have not seen anybody come federally and come and try and interrupt what's happening in Oregon. We've had a successful program. We haven't had any federal intervention. Nobody has been threatened to take away their federal dollars for a project they have going in the community, be it federal road dollars like our councilman from Grants Pass mentioned, or no one in Oregon has had that happen. In California, the only reason that they were raiding dispensaries is because they don't have a state law. They don't have a tightly regulated system as the Cole memo suggests. They want to have some kind of tightly regulated system, and we have that essentially in Oregon. We have a state registry. We keep track of these folks. They have to renew every year. You know, it's not like we have a runaway system in Oregon. We have a great system, and the local communities need to realize that federal argument isn't going to hold up anymore. The feds are not coming in. You can't say, you know, what's going to happen the next president. You know, I'm guessing that Hillary's not going to outlaw marijuana when she becomes president.
Okay, I was going to ask you for a prediction, a prediction on something else, though. You see the medical and the recreational systems continuing to exist side by side, say, 5 years down the road?
I do. I definitely think that can happen. I think that we need to encourage that to happen. There's differences in that, and it's the way that people are catered to and the financial impact of having to buy your medicine when you're low income.
All right. Brent Kenyon is with Southern Oregon Alternative Medicine and part of the committee advising the OLCC, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, on moving ahead into the retail business. The retail part isn't there on July 1st, but recreational marijuana does become legal in Oregon July 1st. Brent, thanks for joining us. I want to thank Mark Gatlin from the Grants Pass City Council for joining us as well, and thanks to you for listening. Emily Curitan's our producer at the controls today. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Join us next time. Take care and have a great day.